Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil behind the glass. And let's get a big round of applause for Joe Brazil. This isn't nearly as good of an applause as we used to have. But Joe is going to be with us now 5 days a week. Joe, go ahead and jump in here. Good morning. How's it going, man?
Dude, it's going great. Good morning.
You said you were a little nervous. Are the nerves wearing off now that the show is starting?
The nerves have worn off a little bit, yeah. It was a little odd. I've done this before.
Sure.
But, yeah, I was a little bit nervous last night. It's kind of stepping into a new role and whatnot. But I'm feeling great now, dude. I'm so stoked to be here.
Excellent. We're stoked to have you. Joe Brazil, he's here full-time now. We love this very much. Where's my buttons? There it is. One more round of applause for our guy, Joe. So you'll be hearing a lot more from him moving forward. All right. James Hamm is also here. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We are the insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Joe, I'm going to punch you for a minute. we're going to hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Appreciate everybody listening on the radio, everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, and of course you in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. All right, good news and bad news for the Kings. Over the weekend, they had a really nice weekend in the standings, and we'll get to it, but of course, up top here, Domantas Sabonis, grade one hamstring strain. He suffered that early in the second minute of Saturday night's game against the Rockets. The Kings held on to win 113-103. The Kings say Domantas Sabonis will be reevaluated next week. So let's start there. Could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. It could have been horrible. I mean, that could have been season ending.
Yeah.
A grade one is basically a super mild strain. And, you know, not a lot of fibers and stuff were damaged. Mm-hmm. And so you're hoping that 1 to 2 weeks he could be back in the flow and we could see him back on the court. We'll have to wait and see how he sort of responds to treatment and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all saw it. He grabbed at his hamstring in the previous game. Mm-hmm. And so you started to know that, hey, something's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have even started with him grabbing at his low back at two games ago, mm-hmm. where you're like, ooh, that looked like it hurt. And all of those things are connected. So it's a good thing that he's not going to be out long term. And it's also a good thing that the Kings went out and got Jonas Valanciunas at the trade deadline, because this is what we've talked about. It's not just the minutes that Alex Lynn had to play when Domas was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the minutes that could potentially be opened up if something happens to Domas.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a really, really, really good backup center that is starter quality for about half the teams in the league.
Yeah, man. Valanciunas was really good in extended minutes on Saturday. 15 points, 14 boards. He had 3 blocks. There was a massive, massive advantage the Kings gave themselves when they went out and got an adequate backup center, because we've been asking for it.
Like, yeah.
I also want to circle Trey Lyles, who I thought had a really effective game as well. But knowing that this is let's remove Jonas Valanciunas from the equation here for a second. This is code red emergency.
Oh, yeah. For the Kings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how they're going to win any games, but you see against a good Rockets team, you saw Valanciunas step in and play really well, and the Kings just as a whole, I thought, had a really nice outing down there in Houston. And now all of a sudden you're looking and going, okay, yeah, you'd rather have Domantas Sabonis than not. But I don't see this as a massive end of the world type of deal anymore, because you get a close enough facsimile with Jonas Valanciunas that, man, it's not a loss, but it's not one that I don't think the Kings are incapable of overcoming now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that people need to realize is that Domas plays almost every single night. He's missed three games this season. Last year, he didn't miss a single game. The year before that, he missed three. He's like a workhorse for you, and you rely so heavily on him for everything that he does. But I got to be honest, like as you're making this transformation from the team that you were to the team that you are now with the with the new players that you've brought in, like Valanciunas plays a style that so many players in the league have played with a center like him.
Mm-hmm.
So it might actually be easier for a handful of these players to just step on the court and play and find more success with Valanciunas.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, the potential for growth and the potential to, you know, your ceiling can be way higher with Sabonis because of his passing ability. But Valanciunas sets a mean screen. He's a great rebounder. He, you know, takes up a huge amount of space in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
You just worry that, you know, foul trouble, you now have a little bit less depth at that position.
Mm-hmm.
But also now it might open a door for Trey Lyles to get more action on the floor where he's kind of been left out of the rotation over the last week or so.
Yeah, I thought he was really good on Saturday. The other branch that grows off of this is it was reported yesterday by you, James Hamm of the Kings beat, that Scal Labissiere had signed a 10-day contract with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Is this has to just be a depth thing, right?
Oh yeah, it's a depth
like,
thing.
This is not Scal is going to step in and enter the rotation.
Well, I mean, it just depends on number whether Scal plays or not. Really, does depend on where you're at with within each individual game. I mean, if you get it, build a 15-20 point lead, or if you're down 15-20 points to a team, Scal's going to play. And to me, it's a good thing because what you're doing here is, you know, some people will say, "Hey, why not Isaac Jones?" We'll get into that in a minute. But Scal specifically, Scal has been a franchise player for you. He's a guy who's been sitting down at the G League level, putting in good work, being a good teammate and a good coach, and helping bring along a young group of players for the last two seasons. And to reward Scal is tremendous. So for people who don't know, G League players don't make hardly anything. Like two-way contracts are half of a rookie scale NBA contract. So rookie scale this year, I think, is 1.4 million. So G League two-way players make roughly $700,000, right? A standard G League player makes like $42,000. So when Scal gets a call up, a 10-day contract is the equivalent of years of service for his amount of time in the league. And so I think it'll be around $140,000 for 10 days.
So this is a depth thing, but also like a little financial.
Well, yeah, you're rewarding somebody who's been in your system, and you're saying, "Look, man, whether you're going to play or not, we need depth. You're like 6'11", 7 foot tall. Scal's always been a very, very talented player. Just wasn't ever physical enough. And so for him, this is like an opportunity for him to basically make 3.5 times what he was going to make as a G League player.
Yeah.
And it's just for 10 days. And if he gets a second 10-day because Domas might need a little bit more time, maybe you bring him up. And then, you know, the Kings do have two open roster spots still. So there's still room for them to do something like sign Scal for the remainder of the season and bring Isaac Jones up. The one issue with Isaac Jones that we'll get to, but it's that he's up to 42 games on his two-way contract. You only get 50. So the Kings have 8 games before he is no longer eligible. And even if you were to bring him, if you were to keep that eligibility and get to the playoffs, he can't play in the playoffs because two-way players aren't allowed to play in the playoffs.
Is the cutoff for standard contracts playing in the playoffs the same as like free agents?
Yeah. No.
Does that make sense?
No.
If you convert a two-way contract to a standard contract on the last day of the season, they can play in the playoffs.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You remember this happened with the Warriors, and they ended up waiving Omri Caspi.
Cavs legend Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they waived Omri Caspi, and that was, I think, the last game Omri ever played in the NBA. They waived him the day before the playoffs, and he thought he was going to make the playoff roster, and then all of a sudden he was gone. And they just wanted the depth for somebody who was playing a different position and that they needed. But yeah, as far as like two-way players and stuff like that, or 10-day contracts, all that stuff, they can play. The way that it works, players have to clear waivers by March 1st. Mm-hmm. If they're playing for a different team, get right. waived, and then you sign them, and they're still eligible for the playoffs.
Right.
So that's not going to be the case. I mean, Scal, if they did sign him for the rest of the season, which I don't think they will, but if they did, then he would basically be able to play in the playoffs and everything else.
So something that I don't know if you know this about me, I was a big Scal Labissiere guy.
Okay.
Like, I was so convinced back in 2017 mm-hmm. that Scal Labissiere was going to be that dude. And I pulled up some of my own receipts on Twitter.
Oh, no.
March 11th, 2017, from ya boy. The Kings have a gem with Scal. Hang on, it gets better. Between him, Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Malachi Richardson, Sack has some pieces. It's a bad beat for your boy. That's 0 for 4. I mean, four dudes there, and none of them are turned out to be good players. That same quartet had another tweet later where I'm like, man, the Kings, watch out. Talked about Scal becoming like a 17-9 guy. Mm. October 26, 2017. Scal Labissiere is going to be the Kings' best player by 2019. Didn't happen. It's a bad... That's tough.
So, I have like a major soft spot in my heart for Scal, watching him as a young player, covering him as a young player. And when he was there, as you know, his first time around, he really, like, he hung out in the locker room all the time. And there was a big group of players that would hang out in the locker room all the time. But I had so many conversations with Scal. He's such a good human being. And just, you know, his story is amazing. Kyle and I and Joe, we were talking about it before. Like, he survived the earthquake in Haiti. His apartment building collapsed on him and his mom and his brother after his dad had dropped him off after school, and he got stuck in the rubble, like being crushed under the weight of a wall for 8 hours and in the seated position, and it took him like 2 months to learn how to walk again. His parents had said no to like missionaries coming in and taking Scal to America multiple times before that, but with the devastation of the earthquake, they ended up saying okay, and they let him go to a family in Memphis who did good work to help him get through school and teach mm-hmm. him English and everything else. Just an incredible story, but also just an incredible soul. He's a very, very sweet guy, just absolutely salt of the earth, and like one of my favorite players that I've covered during my 15 years here in Sacramento. And so I'm super happy for him to get this call up.
The Scal Hive is here.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And again, I don't know if it will work out or not. I just know coming into the league, he was just...
I'm pretty committed to Scal being good based on my old takes, so yeah. I'm crossing my fingers, dog.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a little soft as a player when he was coming into the league, and they didn't give him the opportunity that he probably deserved as... he was a top five talent coming into his freshman season at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, he fell all the way to like 28, 29 in the draft where the Kings took him as, you know, that was one of three draft picks that year.
October of 2017 was when I said by 2019 he'd be their best player. In February of 2018, 6 months later, not even 6 months later, 4 months later, I think Scal has the potential to be the Kings' best player in 3 years. So now we're up to 2021. We're just kicking that can down the road. He's a big Scal guy.
Hey, he won a game with a three-point shot against the Knicks.
Talking about how Scal and Giles might be able to provide spacing. Mm. Love this. This is good.
Yeah.
Scal of three Sierra is something I tweeted.
Yeah. I told Kyle earlier, he invited me and... Mark Spears to go to Haiti with him the first time he was heading back to Haiti. And it ended up the trip got canceled because of security issues and Scal changing his representation. But it would have been a heck of a trip.
Yeah, man. That would have been a pretty incredible story. Bummed that one didn't didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
Some good news for the Kings over the weekend. They swept the Rockets on Saturday.
Yep.
They're up to ninth in the standings. But the bigger deal is that they're a half game back of the 6, 7, and 8 seeds.
It's wild.
And they're tied for the 10th seed. So they're tied for 10, but tied for 6th of the win tonight.
The West just keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter at the bottom. Like, it's absolutely crazy to have 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 all separated by half game.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Wild.
All right. You know what else is ridiculous is the fact that I can't win on Underdog. It's super easy. Underdog Daily Fantasy, their pick'em game. You pick two or more players, you pick higher or lower. You think at some point I'd watch enough basketball to get a W in here. No dice. I got one the other night. I've lost a couple of lineups since then, but I'm back on the horse tonight. All you got to do is download the Underdog app to play along. You pick two or more players, you pick higher or lower. You can win up to 1,000 times your money. You already know how it goes. People have won. Millions of fans have already won billions on Underdog. So here's what I'm rocking with tonight. I'm mixing and matching because there's the Kings-Mavs game, which is huge. But then that Warriors-Hornets game is going to matter a ton for the Kings. So I'm mixing and matching those two games in my lineup. One, I'm going Steph Curry lower than 5.5 three-pointers made. He's 37 in 11 days. He's been scorching hot from three. At some point, he's going to have a game where he goes like 3 of 12.
Never.
It's going to happen.
Never bet against Steph.
He's going to have 6 threes in the first quarter. Watch this. Kyrie Irving, I'm going lower than 29.5 points. I don't know that the Mavs have enough offensive threats that the Kings can't just throw the kitchen sink at Kyrie and turn him into a playmaker. I still think he gets 25, 26. I don't think he gets to 30. LaMelo Ball, I'm going higher than 23.5 points for Charlotte. I just don't think Golden State has anybody who can really defend a player like LaMelo, especially when he's going to take most of the shots. And then Malik Monk, I'm going higher than 6.5 assists. Mm-hmm. I love having the Malik assist number. And with no Domas, I think a lot of the playmaking onus is going to be on Malik. And I know a lot of his assists go to Domas, but I think he's going to take that onus on himself to distribute and get his guys open shots. So I'm going Malik Monk higher than 6.5 assists. Would love for you to play along. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using the promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Call void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. We have a ton of Kings basketball to get into. They have a huge game tonight. But before we can do that, the 49ers traded a major piece of their receiving core over the weekend, and we got to talk about it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James there, I'm Kyle. Got a ton of Kings to get to, and we will, and just some other stuff going on. Because this is now, we're at the point of the year, March,
Mm-hmm.
There are 20-ish games left. And we're at the point of the year where we have to follow the Kings and then, like, the seven other teams around them.
Yeah.
I'm done. I've decided. I made this decision today when I was putting our show together. I decided that I'm out on the Suns and the Blazers.
Okay.
I'm done looking backwards. If the Kings lose five in a row, then yeah, sure, we can look what's going on behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But given that with a win tonight, they can be tied for sixth, I'm done looking backward.
Okay.
But so much of what we're going to look at is like, okay, what did the Kings do? But then also, what did Minnesota do? What did Dallas do? What did the Warriors do? What did the Clippers do? What did the Rockets do?
Yeah, even the Rockets, you got to throw them in there at this point.
I'm giving it a second. I need the Kings to get up into six first.
Yeah.
Before I want them to see if they can catch Rockets. But anyways. But then we also have to figure out what's going on at the top of the West. Because, okay, the Thunder are one. So if the Kings are the eighth seed, they'll play the Thunder. And that's just what the Lakers are now in second at like 10.5 games back. So that's happening. What's going on at 2 and 3, though? There's a really good chance the Kings are the 7 seed,
mm-hmm.
which they'd play the 2. But if they get up to 6, okay, now they're playing the 3 in that first round matchup. So we got to pay attention to that, too. And we'll, of course, be doing that right here on the Insiders. But Deebo Samuel got traded over the weekend.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, we knew it was coming, but...
Yeah, dude. So I had some people reach out who are not fans of the 49ers and, you know, aren't locked in. And they're like, that's so crazy they traded Deebo. And if you missed it, Deebo Samuel is going to Washington and the 49ers are getting a fifth-round pick. The 49ers will eat $31.5 million this year, which they were going to do regardless.
Yeah.
It would have been, I think, $47 million if he had been on the roster. So he had requested a trade. Here's the deal. Because a bunch of people reached out and were like, what? I can't believe they traded him. I couldn't believe they got anything for him.
They were able to create a market for him. It sort of seemed like they were able to create a market where there were multiple teams.
Apparently.
That were looking at Deebo. Mm-hmm. And so in that situation, you were able to make a move where you were able to get more than what you thought you would get.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was an outside chance maybe they'd be able to get a fourth round pick, or maybe they were able to get two late round picks.
Mm-hmm.
But a fifth round pick, to me, like, watching him play last year, I would not have given up a fifth round pick to get him on my roster.
Yeah, and that's what's so there's a bunch of layers to this. He asked out.
Yep.
He didn't want to play for the 49ers anymore. And that's fine. Like, that's understandable. The Niners were gonna cut him if they didn't trade him, and his contract wound up being a disaster for the Niners,
because
he had that awesome 2021 year, and then he was pretty good in 22. He's okay, it's in same in 23, and then last year was just a mess, and they put themselves in this position where they have to eat all this money while getting rid of him. But he was gone anyway, so getting a fifth is like, okay, in a vacuum, spot where you were going to get rid of a player for nothing to get a pick in a top 150 pick in a round of the draft where you did not have a pick. That's a nice little off season, a very small W in what is a bad situation with his contract. I thought he was done being effective with the 49ers. And I came out of last year looking at him in the offense and going, they have to get away from this Deebo-centric offense.
Yeah.
Teams just, because it used to be when Deebo goes in motion, teams are in chaos. Defenses are in chaos. When he gets a ball in his hands, it's chaos. That wasn't the case anymore. So they couldn't manipulate defenses the same way. And the offense, I think, just didn't quite work the same. So, and he's not good enough where you can just split him out and be like, yeah, hey, go win one-on-one and we're going to get you the ball. That's not him. That's not his game. So I think this is also... So nice for the Niners to get anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a great landing spot for Deebo, too.
Oh, I agree. There's 100%.
Really good chance he goes to Washington and cooks with a running quarterback like Jaden Daniels, where, okay, now you can create some of the space that the 49ers couldn't. You can create some of that space and give him some of those advantages where he's, in the open field, one-on-one. You like Deebo to win that matchup. with the ball in his hands.
I told you during the playoffs that, like, Washington has a very, like, distinct issue. They don't have, like, a third down back. They don't mm-hmm. have somebody who can mix it up. Either they have, like, a road grader mm-hmm. as a running back, or they have their quarterback. Mm-hmm. But it felt like they were missing this ingredient. And, you know, again, like Austin Eckler, just he's just not the same player he was before.
Yeah, he's okay. But
and even if he is, he's more of a, like, get between the tackles type of guy. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, like they
did. Screens.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of variable in what they were doing. You could see that they're limited just in personnel. And I think Debo, like, if he bounces back, he can have that effect. Mm-hmm. And I think a player who gets traded after a long run with, you know, like, sort of a dynasty-esque team, mm-hmm. like the 49ers have been, once they get traded, it's usually like, hey, get in the best shape of your life, trim down, like, get ready for a big breakout season, show everybody you're not done, and go get your next big contract. Mm-hmm. So I expect him to have, like, a really nice bounce back season. I just think I'm on the same page with you. Like, he had run his course here yeah. with the 49ers, and there was very little, I don't know, like, he just wasn't a real threat anymore.
Yeah.
And,
he wasn't the same guy.
I didn't blame the 49ers for going away from him. But now you need to find, you more than even finding, you need to put faith in somebody else to mm-hmm. to do those things, because that's my biggest issue with Kyle Shanahan. It's not that he doesn't have the players sometimes. A lot of times is he never actually empowers those players to take that next step. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they're able to find the next guy.
So that's the other interest. First of all, we need a word for whatever the 49ers were. Because you said dynasty-esque, because dynasty is like the Chiefs. Like, you got to win a bunch to reach out. But they never won a super, like, dynasty? Like, they were, I don't know what to call it, because they kept falling short.
Yeah, I don't want to just call them the Bills, because they didn't go to the Super Bowl,
right?
You know,
times. They had a nice little five-year run. 19, 20, 21, 22.
But it was like
a six-season run.
A six-year run where how many NFC championship games and how many Super Bowls did they go to?
Well, it was two Super Bowls and three NFC title games in 5 years.
Okay.
Four NFC title games. Yeah, 19, 21, 22, 23, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really good run.
Yeah. Yeah, we just need a word for it.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, with the Kings, we have, like, the golden era of Kings basketball, which is 1998 to 2006, mm-hmm. right? They don't have another era.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah.
So with the Niners, there are so many eras of greatness mm-hmm. that this one doesn't really stack up.
Yeah.
It doesn't stack up against the 84 to 89 or the 81 to 89 sure. era. Or
and really know. To 94.
Yeah, but you switch coaches and sure. your quarterback was different, you know.
Yeah.
There were some differences.
Yeah. So that's 100% correct. But then there are like 28 teams that would gladly switch places with the Niners since 20.
Oh, heck yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think they can replace Debo. Like that's one of the things that has come out of this is the conversation is like, oh, how do you replace him? It's like you don't. He's such a unique player. Every team since 2019. Every team since 2019 has been like, oh, we need a player like Debo. This kind of do everything running back, and I know 2021 was when he really took off, but 2019, his rookie year, he was very good too. I think he set the rushing record for a wide receiver in the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure that happened in 2019. So it's like everybody's been kind of looking for, and you've seen guys like LaVisca Chenault was supposed to be the next Debo. Who was the guy in the draft this year? I can't.
Even Xavier Worthy is supposed to be a Debo-esque player.
Yeah, yeah. There's. There was a guy in the draft this year, though, that a bunch of analysts were like, everybody's been looking for the next Debo, but this guy is it. And he wasn't. And I can't remember his name for the life of me. I think the Jets drafted him. Malachi Corley? That sounds right. Anyways, doesn't matter. So it's like, you don't replace him. You're not going to. He's the most unique player, or was the most unique player in the sport. He had 1,400 receiving yards and 365 rushing yards.
Yeah, that's wild.
As a receiver, like, that's crazy. So, I don't think you replace him. I think you need another receiver. But I think if the 49ers go out this offseason and go, hey, we need to reintegrate that playmaking ability into our offense, I think it's going to fail. because I don't think there's another player who's going to be able to replicate what Debo did.
No, and if there is for them, I think it would be to put Mason or Guerrero in the backfield and use Christian McCaffrey in that role, split him out, sure. And run the plays through through him like that.
Yeah.
And like, look, one of the problems that you have is when you build a team that has specialty players that become extremely unique is that there's no way to replace them. And it's the same issue that the Kings have had over the last couple of years with someone like Domantas Sabonis. Like, Domantas is so specific and so good at what he does that the only other player like him in the league keeps winning the MVP every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really no way to like replace what he does. You have to be a completely different team when he steps off the floor. And it's impossible. Impossible for the Kings to replicate what they do with Sabonis on the floor versus what they do with Sabonis off the floor. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with the Niners. Like, when you go out and you find specific players who become, and I would say McCaffrey is very similar in that he's so much different than every other running back in the league. It's very difficult to replace what he does. And it doesn't matter how many yards Mason or Guerrero had. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like, you're not McCaffrey. You don't put the fear of Jesus in everybody like McCaffrey does.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing. Like, we'll see the Kings move on with Valanciunas as their starting center for the next couple of games because Sabonis is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, replicating who they were is going to be very difficult. The one saving grace is that this is a newer roster and that if this happened last season or if it happened in the first half of the season, you'd probably be in a lot worse position than you are today.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the way when you switch out a bunch of pieces.
Last thing on this, because this gets into a little bit broader conversation. I really want to get back to basketball here. But
yeah.
Jim, I apologize if I mispronounce your name, but I'm going to do my best. Jim Thurlkill?
Yeah.
Says in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, he said, the question is, has Kyle run his course with the Niners? He's stubborn and his stuff is getting old. I think that's a fine question. As you know, I've stood in front of Kyle Shanahan for a lot of the last several years, but this is a year where that question becomes very relevant.
Mm.
Because I do think that the league is kind of caught up to what the 49ers have been doing, but that's what Kyle Shanahan's always been really good at. That's why he's been a special offensive coach, is finding the next thing.
Yeah.
Is not following the trends of the league, but finding that next thing that, okay, here's how defenses have adapted to what modern offense looks like. Here's my zag. Here's what everybody's thinking, where's my zag?
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, that was, hey, defenses are getting spread more horizontal. They're getting lighter. It's more defensive back. So what we're going to do is we're going to go a fullback. We're going to get big, and we're just going to run downhill. We're going to play this kind of old school style of football. Well, it's not quite working anymore. So what's the next adaptation? So that's where I think Jim brings up a good point. I'm not ready to go, oh, Kyle Shanahan's done. He's cooked. He doesn't know how to do offense anymore. I don't think that'll ever necessarily be the case. But does he have that next adaptation of whatever spinoff of this version of his offense? Does he have that next adaptation that's ready to combat modern defenses in a way that they're just not quite ready to stop yet?
Yeah, and I think if you look at the way that the 49ers have morphed over the last couple of years, Kyle has very much changed who he is as a coach.
Yeah.
Like, they still do the zone blocking scheme, right, that they always had, but you've also seen him go to a one-back situation with McCaffrey as opposed to the standard Shanahan brand, whether it was his dad or whether it was him, who just run two or three running backs the whole game, and you get so frustrated as a fantasy football player because you never know who's going to be good and who's not. You know, he added the Debo element that we had not really seen in his other stops. Wow. Like, these are things that he has, you know, really adjusted.
Yep.
But he has to continue to get better and change who he is. And to be honest with you, it's why I think the brilliance of Andy Reid. Andy Reid is so creative, but he just keeps coming up with new wrinkles. And part of it's because he's got, you know, Mahomes who can do these things. Sure. But the thing that makes the Chiefs so tough to pin down is that you just don't know what Andy Reid's going to throw at you next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they keep making it deep.
And I think that's
playoffs.
And I think that's the case for Jim's Steve Spagnuolo too.
Yeah.
Is defensively, you're just never quite sure what he's going to throw at you. And that's what, to that point, it's like just always kind of at least half a step ahead.
Yeah.
There's one little thing that's different. One little thing they're not ready for. And that can be the difference between winning and losing a Super Bowl. All right. We'll have plenty more Niners talk coming up here in the next few days. 9 days from today. So a little less than a week and a half, the free agency legal negotiating window opens in the NFL, and we will have that all covered for you right here on ESPN 1320. A little bit of news from Andrew Marchand, who covers media for The Athletic, covers sports media for The Athletic. Jimmy Johnson on the Colin Cowherd show announced his retirement.
What?
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, former Cowboys, University of Miami, coaching legend who has been, God, he's been on the Fox pregame, postgame panel for
20, 25 years?
As long as I remember watching football.
Yeah.
He is announcing his retirement. And that's interesting because watching him this year, I kept going, man, he's got to be getting close. He
started to lose his fastball, and I'm glad that he's stepping away when he wants to, as opposed to just keep pushing and keep trying to go. Yeah.
Yeah. There's another person on that panel that should take a hint.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, in case we were wondering.
Speaking of losing a fastball. No, man, love those guys. It's just the Fox pregame show. I'm not locked in. Like, man, this is must-see TV. I've got to see what the guys on Fox have to say. But on a Sunday morning when I'm up making breakfast, making coffee, doing stuff around the house before football starts, having that on in the background and having those voices on in the background, Terry Bradshaw, Kurt Menefee for a long time, Jimmy Johnson, of course, like all those guys, Howie Long, hearing those guys, it just is like part of your Sunday, part of your fall, part of your winter. So salute to Jimmy Johnson on a remarkable career. He is retiring from football analysis, and I don't think he's going back into coaching.
No.
I think he's just done.
I'm guessing not.
Football. All right, and we're done talking football for today. The Kings have a massive, massive game tonight. Every game down the stretch is big, but this one is particularly large, and we'll tell you why. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320. Joe Brazil's behind the glass, and he's going to send us a break.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Kings Mavs tonight. Down in Dallas, this is a huge game for Sacramento.
Totally agree.
If they win and Golden State loses, the Kings are tied for the sixth seed. Is that right?
Yep.
If the Kings lose, they go back to 10th.
Mm. This is going to be so wild for the next, what are we down to, 24 games, 23 games?
Yes.
This is
how it's going to go. Buckle up, everyone. It's going to be they win three in a row. Oh, my God, they're in the sixth seed. They lose two. Oh, my God, they're back to 10.
Yes.
That's very likely how this is going to go down the stretch. But it's not just that. It's that typically when we've been doing our scoreboard watching, which we're doing a lot of lately, the Mavericks are always in it. The Mavericks are always a team that we're like, okay, hey, what are the Mavs doing tonight? Because they are tied with the Kings in the standings. They are 32-29. The Kings come in at 31-28. Kings favored by 2.5 tonight, by the way.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
So I'll start with Dallas because I want to get to where the Kings are too. I think this is a really important game for the Kings, not only because you can jump up and be tied for the number six seed, but also it feels like Dallas is teetering a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Injuries have hit them hard.
Yeah, really bad. And we'll get to the injuries here in a second. But they won 5 out of 6. Luka trade happens. It's a cluster, but they win 5 out of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, they've lost 3 out of 4. They got blown out by Golden State. They lost to the Lakers. They snuck past Charlotte, and then they got blown out by Milwaukee.
Oof.
This is a team that is hanging on for dear life, waiting for reinforcements. PJ Washington, let's get to the injury report right now. Here's who's out for the Mavs tonight. Anthony Davis, out. Derek Lively out, Daniel Gafford out, PJ Washington out, Caleb Martin out.
Mm.
Like, they're just holding on for dear life right now, but they've lost 3 out of 4. And this feels like a spot to me where if the Kings can get a just a dominant win where they kind of control the game, I feel like Dallas is teetering. And I don't want to call it a knockout blow, but you can knock them down tonight, I think, if you go in and dominate that game and show, like, look, you're the 10 seed, you're down there. We're going this way. You deal with the Suns and stuff.
I think it's interesting, Kyle. We look at strength of schedule all the time, right? It's something that you can focus on because, you know, it's a good indicator of what's ahead. The Phoenix Suns have the most ridiculous strength of schedule left I've ever seen. They have a 584 win percentage against.
Oh my God.
And their final 22 games, a 584. They only have 3 games that are considered easy opponents, and they play the Spurs once, the Bulls once, and the Raptors once. Outside of that, their schedule is absolutely brutal. They still have the Cavs. They still have OKC. They still have Boston twice. They have the Knicks. They have Denver. They've got Memphis. They, like, to climb back into this thing is nearly impossible, right?
They're real quick, their strength of schedule averages out to playing a 48-win team every night.
Every night.
So yeah. The 22-23 Kings, they got to play them every night, basically.
It's absolutely crazy. So the Kings are second. They have a 557 win percentage against. Jesus. And, like, look, a 557 is really tough, but we also know that there are games, you know, they play the Cavs twice, they play Boston, they still have a game against the Knicks, they still have two against OKC, one against OKC, two against the Nuggets. So the Kings' schedule is very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have Dallas, who's all the way down at number 14 at a 503 win percentage against. But this is one situation where I don't think strength of schedule matters at all.
Nope.
Dallas they're in a death fall. Mm-hmm. And whether they can pull out of it or not, I don't know. But they have so many injured players, and they traded their franchise player, and they're trying to adapt on the fly. And it's like, how far can Kyrie Irving carry mm-hmm. you on his own back? Like, mm-hmm. like how far can he carry you? Because it's him and not a whole lot else. Whether I don't want to be disrespectful to Clay or anyone else on that roster, but it really has been, how far can Kyrie carry you? And this is a team that this is such an important game for the Kings. If ever there were, like, a must win with 23 games left in the season, this is fully it. Mm-hmm. Because it does not get any easier from here. And the Kings know that. But this is a game that against a team that is stumbling, just like the Rockets were stumbling and having a bit of a downturn.
Mm-hmm.
This is another game against a team that just, they're not there. And you've got to punish them.
Yep. Big time. As for the Kings, so far so good in this 11-game stretch out of the break. They're 3-1. They've won 3 in a row. They lost that opener to Golden State after the break, and it looked like, okay, this isn't great. But then they got the 2 wins they needed to get against Charlotte and against Utah. And then I was just super impressed on Saturday. Especially with Sabonis going down, the Kings playing as well as they did, and falling behind in that game where they get out to that early lead, and when they fell behind, I kind of thought, oh man, wheels might come off here.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't. Just kept punching.
Yeah, they looked really good.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was one of their better wins that we've seen over the last couple of, like, the last month or so, where they just went in against a team that, you know, they had a few injury issues, and they, mm-hmm. you know, Houston had a few things wrong with them, and they're just trying to integrate Fred VanVleet back in, and he was absolutely horrible. But the rest of the team, I thought, was really good. And to have the Kings sit there and battle through,
mm-hmm.
like, super, super impressive win.
I'm going to withhold my comments on Dylan Brooks because we're on the radio. starters for tonight for the Kings, Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and I would be shocked if Jonas Valanciunas doesn't start for the Mavs. I'm guessing it'll look like Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Max Christie, Najee Marshall, and Moses Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
Yeah, Moses Brown is rough.
Not a great player.
No.
He was on the Blazers, I think.
Yeah, he's been on a bunch of teams.
Run around against
OKC. Against he was on OKC.
And yeah. Not an awesome player. Kings injury report, just Domantas Sabonis. He's out with what the team lists on the injury report is soreness in the hamstring.
It's a grade one.
It doesn't say
hamstring.
Strain. It says, yeah, just says soreness.
They may have updated that on this morning stuff, but they did press release it late last night that he has a grade one hamstring strain.
I have two matchups of the game.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving against the kitchen sink.
Yep.
Whatever. Who? I'm guessing it'll primarily be Keon. But if you just try and say, hey, Keon, go guard Kyrie on an island for 48 minutes, that I don't think that's going to work. You got to do some stuff to get the ball out of his hands. They've done a really good job of like trapping at half court and then just standing there and playing 3-on-4.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something they have to do tonight. But the other one, I'm going to flip this the other way. I think Klay Thompson is probably going to guard Keegan Murray. And if that's the case, I need aggressive Keon or Keegan. Excuse me.
Yeah, me too.
Like Jason Kidd, literally, he was asked the other night why Klay Thompson didn't play a bunch of minutes against the Bucks. Let me get the exact number for you here. Klay Thompson against Milwaukee the other night, a 15-point loss for Dallas, by the way. Klay Thompson only played 28 and a half minutes. And when Jason Kidd got asked, hey, why didn't he play more minutes? He said, because we needed to get stops.
Mm.
That's a tough look for Klay right now.
Yeah, you have to attack Klay Thompson.
Yep. That's it.
And just stay with him. Like, he's not getting the same open looks that he did before.
Mm-mm.
Like, that he did with the Warriors.
And he's not going to take you off the dribble.
No.
That's one I think you just throw DeMar on him and let him hang out.
Even if he does try to take you off the dribble, the way that Valanciunas just stands in the middle of the key and hits people, Klay Thompson wants no part of that.
Sure.
I don't think any of us want any part of that for Klay Thompson.
No. No, I don't think so. But yeah, whoever Klay guards, mm-hmm, whether it's Malik Monk or Keegan Murray or Keon Ellis, whoever, you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
He's not playing great defense at this point. All right. Wanted to real quick, the only game tonight, we were talking about the standings a little bit earlier. The only game tonight that matters elsewhere for the Kings is Warriors Hornets. That's the only one I have my eye on. You can keep a little eye on the Rockets if you want, but I'm not there yet. I'm going baby steps.
Okay.
Can Charlotte swing an upset as 12.5-point dogs against the Warriors, who are coming off a game where they lost to the Sixers, who were 1-10 in February?
Hmm. It's tough. I just don't know that Charlotte has anything for anybody at this point.
Me neither.
Like, they can get hot and they can beat you, but at the same time, that's just not a very good team.
They're not.
Yeah, we can't, like, keep hoping that Charlotte will help the Kings out, because they're not going to. It feels like they're just making the rounds and playing every team that the Kings are competing with. You're like, why is it Charlotte again?
So I would tend to agree with you, but I think I said the same thing about the Sixers. I said the exact same thing about the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Quentin Grimes gets hot and the Sixers knock off the Warriors. So maybe LaMelo gets hot. Maybe Miles Bridges gets hot.
Okay.
That's the one other game I'm watching tonight.
I'm here for it.
I'm Kyle. He's James Hamm. We're talking Kings Mavs here on ESPN. 13-20. How does Sacramento secure a fourth win in a row? We'll let you know. We got keys to victory coming up right here on ESPN 13-20 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.